The basis of our meditation for this day is the gospel lesson. One of the great joys, my friends, of being a pastor is announcing to the members of your congregation that their sins are forgiven. Those very precious words which I spoke just a few moments ago to you as a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Those words ring sweet and true in the ears of those who are truly repentant for their sins. And those words of absolution are said so carefully, for they convey to the penitent the spiritual reality of something which they cannot see, but something of which they believe with their whole heart. When people believe something, really believe it with their whole heart, they can be motivated to all kinds of action. Four men who were friends of this paralytic were men who believed something with their whole heart. They believed that Jesus Christ had the power to transform this man's life. Imagine, if you can, the horrible state in which this man was, being confined to a bed with absolutely no hope for recovery. Then comes hope, almost hope beyond hope. Hope came in the person of Jesus. So these four friends, with faith in the Lord Jesus, faith that Jesus could make this paralytic new and whole again, brought him to Jesus. Actions do speak louder than words. As the roof of this house in which Jesus stood and taught began to be removed, carrying this paralytic up that staircase to the roof was easy compared to the labor of removing the roof in the hot Capernaum sun. But off it came, and in faith, these men lowered this paralytic before the teaching Jesus. The needs were so obvious. No one really needed to tell Jesus what to do. Jesus had been teaching, and there was no question that this man who was now laying before him was in need of some healing. But Jesus saw the real need. This paralytic's need was much greater than any physical malady in which he found himself. The need was not only for physical wholeness, but it was also for spiritual healing and for spiritual wholeness. The paralytic's well-meaning friends of faith, in their anxiety to get their friend to Jesus for physical healing, did not perceive the greater need. But the greater need was taken care of. The healing takes place. And the words of healing are spoken by Jesus as he says to this man's son, "Your sins are forgiven." Of course, there are those teachers of the law, always listening in on Jesus, those self-appointed protectors of God's word, who unwittingly ask the appropriate question, "Who can forgive sins?" they ask, "but God alone." And they are correct. Only God has the authority to forgive sins, and Jesus is here revealing his divinity by forgiving. And Jesus reveals his authority to forgive by healing this man physically. The truth of the matter is, only God can forgive sins. And the truth of the matter is that God the Son forgave this man his sins, and then to clearly demonstrate his authority to forgive sins, he healed this paralytic of his physical concerns. "I forgive you all your sins." Those words of forgiveness can be spoken only by God himself or by God's representative. In the name of and in the stead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it has been my honor to announce to you this day that your sins are forgiven. And it will be my honor in just a few minutes to invite you to come forward in this service and receive the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the strengthening of your faith and for the forgiveness of your sins. And one day, this honor shall be yours. We receive this body and blood of our Savior because we know and we believe that he who had the power to heal people physically has the authority to forgive our sins so that we may live with him eternally. Our precious Savior earned that life for us by way of the cross. And now, with the sign of the cross, we will kneel before the altar and receive from him the absolute assurance that these words are not spoken in vain. Son, your sins are forgiven. Amen.